Hello, everybody. This is Terry Laundry with the T3 Observations Report for Monday, May 16th. We have a couple of administrative announcements before we get started on the five charts, which are contained in the PDF file. The first one is that we will henceforth be doing the T30 observations on Saturday by noon rather than the old Sunday by noon or today's Monday by noon. That's to accommodate requests for people who would like to study the charts and so forth over the weekend and then be better prepared for the week. Presumably they have their own jobs and they would like to have the opportunity to start it. So We'll try to get it up by Saturday at noon, but if there's a little glitch or something like that, it might not come up until 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. I just have to rearrange the schedule. But that should take care of most of those requests. Second thing is that we are making a rather important addition to the T-Theory Foundation's publications, and Parker and Paula are working with our web people to set up the new website, and it's pretty well been decided that the URL for that should be ttheory.com, which is presently being used only for the T-Theory observations. So at some point along the way, when you come to use your browser and you think you're going to T-Theory observations, you'll end up at a page that says something like, Welcome to T-Theory Foundation, which is the headquarters for everything that I do on T-Theory. And you'll see a list of tutorials, website devoted to the best bond strategy, and a seminar information, webinar information, which is a web-based seminar. And a new product which we will be introducing sometime in June, which is called T-Theory Pro, which has been requested by people who are in the money management business with it's a longer-term perspective, but it's geared to people that manage money and have to take a longer-term view, not the daily chart stuff that we're doing in here. And I will comment on those as we go through the program. But all you have to do is, if you, as far as keeping T-Theory observations, is always going to be here as it is currently run. And I'll be doing almost all of that. And the web link, when you get to that page, you just click on the T-Theory Observations, which I'll put up at the top. And you'll go to the TypePad T-Theory Observation page, and so you'll be back to where we are. You can bookkeep that, or if you, I would suggest that you also bookmark the T-Theory Foundation, as these new products include tutorials and the other things that we've been planning to do all along and just now getting around to doing. So let's, a couple of people have had trouble, you know, with using the PDFs all in one file. So you get five charts and you can just scroll them. I had a comment from somebody that says they used to be able to see them, your PDFs, fine individually, but now when you put them all in one lump, I can't see anything. So that's likely to be a software problem. The easy way to solve this is just to get a free copy of Firefox, the free browser. It's compliant to the Adobe PDF reader, more so than the Internet Explorer. But you should make sure that you have an Adobe reader which is up to date. And if you're using Internet Explorer, it's up to date. But generally speaking, if you just get the Firefox, it'll take care of it. Nobody has any problems with Firefox, which is why it's a growing. It grows. It's just compliant with everything. I'm an Apple user, and there are no problems with it because Safari is also very compliant with all the standards. So those are our announcements here. I will touch on the other stuff as we go through today's presentation. Okay, let's start with the first PDF file up at the top. We have the daily chart, and you notice that this time what I've done is I've taken the bands, the S&P cash price up at the top, the red line there, that's 1375. I call it the third rail. if you're in a toppy pattern, it tends to be the third rail that kind of gets you if you get up there. Then at the mid-channel, which is a natural support level, you have 1322. And then down at the red line, the green line, which is a deep oversold condition, you're at 1270. Those numbers change. Normally, they're printed down at the bottom, along with the oscillator value of minus 38 as of Friday's close. You'll also notice that I'm continuing to write a red arrow down on the volume oscillator, which says false bottom, which I touched on before. We're also very much interested in the QE2T with its top in the early May time period. And of course, we're ultimately interested in the big mega T, advanced decline mega T's top date at the end of April. And what we're trying to do is focus in on the question is, are we rolling off the big mega T? And what if it wants to bounce around? Well, it's going to bounce. It can bounce around if the current short range T, which I'm suspicious is not going to hold up. But it still holds up. What you'll do is you'll tend to bobble around. You tend to bounce off the black mid-channel line at 1322 because that's the natural support level. However, this picture can be refined if we drop down and we just scroll down now to the second chart using what I called mini T's, which only work when you're in a sideways trading pattern. You don't need an oscillator. The time symmetry of the T's can be just sketched in by measuring the duration of the decline and then projecting it to top of an equal time period. It's not particularly exact, but you can rationalize your way all the way through everything, and you come up to this false support line, which is the same thing as the false bottom on the oscillator, but it's now translated into price. This chart can be set up. This is courtesy of StockCharts.com, and it's basically a 30-minute chart, which depends on how you have your subscription, whether it'll make it automatically or not, but it's S&P, dollar sign SPX, and I chose it to do it every 30 minutes, and you can get a reasonable period of scope in here, and you'll see at the top we have the late April AD mega T peak, which appears to come in early. Then you've got the you get the 4th of May, it's a little bit, topped out a little bit earlier than that. And then you get the third rail, which is just the upper red line on the chart to watch out for. Some people call sideways patterns where you're toppy on the top and you're rising on the bottoms as a megaphone formation, known to be a construed as being a bearish formation. And you can see that the so you have a big you have this there's a big T here which gives you a top in April. Then you come down and you make another T that's a little bit smaller, and it comes up, overshoots that but a little bit. Then you drop down to a low, and I draw a slightly smaller T, and that gives you that rally that we came up to I guess about the 10th. And then you drop down a little bit, and you popped up a little bit, just a very small amount. Then you've dropped down and you're just kind of coming. Since like you're hugging this fault support line, and the question is, do you think it's going to break to the upside because it's just getting into the apex of a triangle, or do you think it's going to blow down? The answer is it's going to blow down, okay, because as I said, they're all faults, and plus you have the influence of these big T's. They're a little bit slow coming, but when they come, they hit you hard. So what I would say, the final point you get out of this is if you look at along the false support line, you see the bottom back in the mid-March bottom, and then you'll see the low around the 18th of April. And if you look at the time span between those two, that could be a cycle low. And if you extrapolate that cycle, those two lows, to a third low, it's going to be a bad next week is bad. You'll drop into some kind of a momentum low or price low or something like that. For that reason, what I did is I put up the all the support levels, and you have to know whether it's going to hold at the mid-channel or it's going to drop all the way to the green channel. But anyway, that's the way you do the forecast if you get caught in one of these siding trade ranges. I just sketch them in. I don't bother to check the time symmetry or anything like that. Okay, now, the later charts, which I'm going to talk about, are really illustrations of the tutorials, the kind of things that we're going to be putting at the T-Theory Foundation as tutorials. And I just wanted to update the picture here for the TLT, which we use in the best bond strategy. And as before, we think that there's a head and shoulders bottom reversal pattern. There is a big T in there. It has further to go. And last week we said that we thought there was going to be a consolidation. That's because there's a simple T right there. In other words, just not the big T, but just a little drop down from the peak at the 94.14 level down to where the right shoulder S is. And the time symmetry says you're at the top. You see you started to pull back, and now he's trying to get ready to come up again. He's trying to figure out how to break above that level and head up to this other peak that's 2.5 months away from it. Now, one of the big features in the new projects that we're working on is the money flow T's. Parker invented these. Parker works for T Theory Foundation. Paula also works for T Theory Foundation. Tom, my programmer, works for T Theory Foundation, and my main activity is at T Theory Foundation. Although I'm an advisor to American Shoulder, which is a separate company. We are in the process of developing a lot of tutorial information with the understanding that what we're going to do is we're going to have a central location for all of T-Theory. And because the money flow T's are very important, I will take this point right in this example here to show you about the money flow situation going on in the bonds, which hasn't been completely resolved yet, but which we'll be touching on. There is a small money flow T, which is right just to the right of the center post of the new long-term Treasury bond T. And to do money flow T's, you have to find down in the money flow indicator is the indicator just below the dates. And when the money flow indicator rises up to go above the 80 level, which is scale at the right, okay, that is a peak in momentum, which according to Parker's discovery, is the midpoint of a rally. It's the midpoint in time of a rally. Okay, so if you look at the small, the central point of the money flow T is the green line that comes down, and that's really the center post of a T, time symmetrical T. The left end, which is a blue line, I'm going to use a blue line for that one, is the H. That's the price low before you went up and hit the momentum peak on the money flow indicator. And then the time symmetrical T brings you over to the red line, which is the projected peak. Now you notice that coming up from the H, you had this large rally, and then you had a very sharp decline, and then you popped up to the 94.14 level, and it is correctly projected to be time symmetrical. This process goes on, and anything you can get a money flow T that we've looked at, this basic pattern takes place. And because it can sometimes be done over a very short term period with very high accuracy, I made the bet that money flow T's are going to become very important for the future. You can look at lots of money flow T's as sectors because it's the fastest growing field in the mutual fund industry. And you can look at emerging market to get an emerging market forecast. You can look at bonds here to get a bond forecast. You can look at the gold to get a gold forecast, which is the next thing we're going to talk about. And as they add more and more money flow T's, you can come up with a better a picture for which is going to be interesting for people that have a particular interest in a particular sector, or in the case of money managers, looking across the spectrum they're usually very diversified. So we're kind of going in two routes. One of them is doing massive amounts of these, and the reason you have to do the massive amounts is we're not sure what the rules are. We know a lot of the rules are, but there's the potential for discovering that you don't know everything. You don't know as much as you think you know in these things. For example, to give you an example where the ambiguity is going to show up, you notice that the money flow indicator, having topped out in March, made a decline, that it's starting to make a rising line along the black rising arrow line here. And we think that it's possible that if the market has a bad fall next week, there'll be a rush to bonds. Bonds, long-term treasuries, are known as bad news bonds because they flourish on the upside in price under bad news. And we have no idea, except for that cycle that I mentioned there, that, or you're dropping off the QE2T. Either you're still falling off the QE2T. And if this thing takes off here and heads up, what's going to happen is this green line down in the money flow is going to pop up above the 80 level, and it's going to stay up there for some relatively short period of time. You can see, if you go back into August, you can see that it stayed up there for a little bit of time. Okay, and when that happens, we're going to draw a new money flow T, and the center post of that money flow T will be a green line going up from wherever that thing is peaked up. And it is going to, and then we're going to have to come back and figure out where did it start from, and maybe we're going to start it from the S, the right S, okay? So it will be a relatively small T up to that point, and then we're going to project out a new top later on. However, even though that's the projection, it's still possible that this upside blow off here that brings you up to make a peak in the money flow T is a top, just as it was back in the example that I showed. So it's true that if you run up there, you get a new projection way out, but you also get a top on it. See, so it's no sense in being complacent about the whole thing. So there's a little ambiguity in that. I'd have to explain that part. Okay. The second thing is, if this is a big run up in here, how do you know that the starting point for this, this is the center post of something that could be a bigger money flow T, why didn't you go back to the H bottom, which is the true starting point? We know that in the cases of the last summer, when we had a big bond market rally because it was double dip was coming in, that you should have gone back to get the earlier bottom, and you had this enormous rally of the bonds, and it came out right. That one we're not sure about. Okay, so we don't know, but we would believe that if the April 27th mega T top has come in, okay, that could be really bad news, because you're going to end up going down to the 70-week moving average. Okay, so in that case, maybe you're going to start to see something evolve here. And I'm just saying that to watch out what's going on here as far as what the rules are concerned. And because money flow requires volume, and the only in ETFs are really the only ones to do it, that you're going to get it out of them, that you'll be able to use, and ETFs are relatively recent. There's not a lot of long-term history where you can develop all the rules. When I invented Magic Teeth Theory, I had to go find out what the rules were. I'm still trying to find out what all the rules are. So what you have to do is take it by stages. And the T-Theory Pro, which is for money managers, is basically a whole spectrum of these. But we also have tutorials on individual ones. And, probably individuals are pretty well settled on. A couple will probably take care of what their needs are. So that's one distinguishing characteristics for the money flow. Money flow T analysis. It comes in different ways. So that pretty much is what we're looking at here, and everything hinges on what happens next week, I guess, or the weeks thereafter, and whether we can pop this thing up through the line. But if it does get popped up, and you have a subscription to T-Theory, to StockCharts.com, you just look at TLT and make sure you add the money flow indicator, and then watch out while it's up there, because it's when it gets up there, and if it does get above 80 and it makes a green patch, you have to find the momentum peak that way, and that could be a little bit tricky, but it's bullish. It's just likely that you'll have a correction thereafter. Okay, now in the next two funds I'm going to talk about in the tutorials that we do, there's a way that you approach how you're going to do all this analysis, which is going to eventually include the money flow T's. And I'm showing you what we have learned so far I was going to do a release a tutorial next week, but I won't have time to do it. There is a money flow tee in the gold bullion, which runs out in very, very early June. And I'll speak about that, but we're not ready to do that because we are changing the websites and stuff like that. So I'm just going to start to show you how you start out to do this, because after you've had a tutorial on how to do something like, for example, take an example here is gold, you can do it for anything else. You just follow the same steps. There's not much to distinguish one form of analysis from the other. You remember we had talked earlier about the fact that the 150-day moving average wasn't normal low point for typical low point for gold bullion, and we have what I have done is I have put this is one happens to be an exponential moving average, and no, it's just a moving average, MA. And it covers the period from 05 is when the GLD World Gold Council ETF came alive. And if you follow the, except for this very early part, if you follow along the blue line here, you can see that any time you came down there, most of the time you came down, you found it was a low. That was the first one in 06. Then it went a little bit too low. Then it finally settled on the blue line. The next time it came down, then it kind of fussed around on the bottom, and then it launched itself. Then when it corrected in 08 and it came down, it stopped on the blue line, and then it rallied back up. Then it broke below, sharply below. And when you came up from the first sharp up, it had resistance at the 150-day moving average, which is also a 30-week moving average. Okay, when it made a reversal in the latter part of 08, you see that it finally got above it, and then when it pulled back, it started stopping on the 150-day moving average again. Then when it got too high in late 09, you see that it worked its way back down to the 150-day moving average, and then in July it moved back to 150-day moving average, and then more recently it moved back to the 150-day moving average. And we have a suspicion that when gold tops out, according to the early June estimate, which is given roughly by the Tocqueville Gold Tee, that it's going to end up at least going down to the 150-day moving average, which is 136.69. That's the cash price for gold, 1369. Okay. Now it so far gold is looking like it's weak, but it hasn't broken down. That's because it's in a money flow tee. Okay. All you have to do is go on, turn the money flow tee on. You'll be able to see it. However, Parker has done the analysis on it since he invented it, and you can do it weekly, or you can do it daily. And you can see that it's agreeing with the rough scale T that we get from the bigger picture from the Tocqueville Gold, which has only got two tops. One is 08, and one is coming up to early June. But the refinement on that one, which you can check out for yourself if you want to, using the ideas of the money flow T's, is in the first day or two of the month of June. So what you would expect here is the gold is probably going to resist coming down if it comes down more, and then it's going to turn up and it's going to try and pop up into early June, and it's going to come down to the 1369. Now, the one thing that you get out of the Tocqueville Gold Tee is that it's very likely that that's a bigger top than what we've seems to be going on here. And this is the case where you could now break below the 150-day moving average if that chart interpretation is correct. We'll go back next week. We'll look at the Tocqueville Gold Tee, or maybe we'll just stick with this chart. So what? So that's just the first stage of analysis. What you've done is when you've laid this 150-day moving average in, and you sort of collect the most of the bottom information or support or resistance level information out of it, basically you can assume that you're in an envelope pattern like I have for the daily charts, but you're missing the other parts. So if we drop down to the second chart, you can see what I've done is I've taken the stock charts.com indicators once again, and I put bands around them. And these bands are you pick a 150 day moving average, which is the red line, okay, and then you tell them to make another indicator, which is the 150 day plus or minus 10, which would be percent. So the blue line is 10% above the red line, and the lower blue line is 10% below it. It's very easy to set it up, and you just read the tutorial, and I'll tell you how to do it. And there, now you see that you start picking up tops, or resistance levels on the upside, and not so good on the bottoms. But that doesn't get them all. Sometimes people go crazy on the gold, and the I call those flyers, because they fly outside the bands. Now these bands, because they're not adaptive, they can't control the flyers on them. You just say that if you go back to early 06, it says, you know, if you get above the blue band, and then the blue band starts to act support, there's some other crazy people are coming, and you get this flyer. What you can do, if you want to, is you can set another set of bands up that just pick up the flyers. But this is probably good enough, I think, for right now. And you evolve that. Now, when we get into the more advanced tutorials that we're going to be doing, the adaptive bands can handle this better. But I think that it's kind of a waste of time to have to try to do that. That's proprietary anyway. But I just think that this is probably the easier way to go. Because we've done things on the S&P 500 that are similar to this in research. And we find out that if you, for example, you notice that the flyer in 08 on the upside is above the blue line as much as the flyer on the downside was in the 08, end of 08. In other words, there's a symmetry in these flyers. And that just means that there's a bigger band. And so you could just put the other band in and make it bigger. You know, they'll give it another color or something like that. But it doesn't happen very often. And the Tocqueville gold tees are likely to tell you what it is. Plus, we're going to be doing other tees, gold tees, using gold oscillators over the whole full mega tee run, which goes from 2001-ish to 2020. But this is the way you do it. And then finally, what you do is you add in the money flow tees. Now you break the thing up to a very fine degree. You look at the money flow indicator, and then you start looking at the where the money flow peak was, and you make the extrapolations, and you'll come up with and you can do that on a weekly chart, and you'll get a little bit into June. But then when you do it on a daily one, you start coming out of the middle of the month, and after that, you guess what it is. It's the same thing with TLT. Okay, so those are the charts that we're going to talk about today. Now I'm going to talk about some of the other. Next week we'll be talking more about. I think the website will be up next week, and so you'll probably run into this business of having everything changed over and pick up the T-theory observation. But just at the outset, I say that. I have a lot of competent people working for me, but I own everything, and what I say goes, and we're going to make very conscientious to make good products. Some of them are going to cost money, but they're going to be, but I think they represent good value, and we're not planning to. I'm going to make sure that what we go out with, we've generally back tested over a fairly long period of time. In the case of the ETFs, there's a little bit of a risk on that one because they weren't in existence for a long period of time. This one happens to be an exception, of course, because the Gold Council figured out what was going on and they got onto it early. There is going to be a potential conflict between the T-Theory Pro and the seminar which is coming up. Because there's going to be an overlap on that, and don't want to get nervous about that, because I understand what it is, and I am going to arrange to have a solution for that, which will make everybody happy. It turns out that the T-Theory Pro is geared to money managers who are generally want a long-term, fairly sophisticated, broad type of a a view, and they also tend to go to the seminars. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that the T30 Pro has a price and the seminar has a price, but that you won't get double charged on it. And I can take care of that one, take care of that for you. We have made the final decisions on when the T-Theory Pro is going to be coming out, but it could be in June. It's a question of getting all these other things taken care of. As far as the tutorials, there'll be maybe a small charge of $25 for some of them. Some of them will be free. The T-Theory, Best Bond strategy, the business model on the Best Bonds strategy.com website is that we will be doing publications to equate in publications. We'll be doing the T-Theory Confidence Indicator and the Best Bond strategy, and we have to have a place to refer people to it, and that is the website is going to carry the information on the bonds, you know, what are the good looking bonds, the bad looking bonds and stuff like that. That's all going to be complimentary. It'll probably be updated once a month, and then we're going to push everything out. We're not going to be doing it here. We're going to be specializing in these more accurate or more refined T-Theory projects, and that's this is where you're going to start to see them, and that's going to be an offshoot, and then we'll update that probably like once a month. So I guess that's all I'm going to say about that for today. Remember that we're going to try to move things back to just Saturday by noon, as is noted below. And if I run into a glitch, don't get excited until get around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock or something like that. I'll post the notice if there's some major problem. But it does compress everything a little bit. So that's it. We're very anxious to see what happens next week. We're not planning to put out any bulletins. The forecast is it's a bad week coming. And we look forward to you at our new time next time. Thank you.